Well, now a pair of speakers from this weekend's TEDxKC conference in Kansas City. TED is the group that puts on a mini conferences of speakers with innovative ideas. First up, a very old idea made new again when it comes to transportation and moving people around. The good news is that transit ridership is up across the nation. The bad news is that nearly half of Americans have no access to transit and so no choice but to drive. But if you think about it for a moment, 80% of our passenger capacity is driving around empty via vacant car seats. We're talking nearly hundreds of millions of empty seats every year. Transportation activist Jenny O'Brien of Lawrence has an idea about all this. It's called hitchhiking. And Jenny, nice to have you. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve.
Well, you want to increase the hitchhiking capacity of this nation, Jenny, and the first thing most people are going to flash on is this notion that hitchhiking is dangerous. Once upon a time, I used to do it, and it drove my mom crazy. What about all that?
All right. Well, I've got three good answers for you,
Steve. All right.
Number one, hitchhiking got a bad reputation. And this isn't just a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory. This was something that was put out by the FBI to shut down the counterculture back in the 60s and 70s.
Ah.
But really, the danger level, the only concrete study that was done showed that hitchhiking is no more dangerous to rider or driver than any other activity that you do. The chances that you'll have a bad outcome is 0.63%, which is about the same as walking into a convenience store. My second answer is that the project that we're undertaking is really not, you know, the California or bus style of hitchhiking. It's more short local trips to get you from your house out in the country into town to your job or to the store or to the doctor. So those short local trips, you're much more likely to be picked up by somebody who's your friend or your neighbor. In fact, 20% of our test riders got picked up by somebody that they know. So there's another comforting thought.
And the third one
is that we do have some safety backups, because crime likes to inhabit the darkness, and we have ways to shine a big spotlight. We have ways to record rides. We have photos, verifications, ratings, and feedback, all those things that are standard sharing economy models that make the give the riders some identity, give them a story. And also help when we get a big community of drivers, that will also, you know, help to increase the safety factor.
So let's talk about this a little bit more. What do you want to do exactly, Jenny? What's your game plan here? What would you like to see happen?
Okay, I designed this mostly because I live out in a rural area where there's no transit and nobody's going to put a light rail out to Oskaloosa, Kansas. So I thought, well, you know, all it takes is a flat tire or, you know, busted head gasket to make you realize how vulnerable you are. So I decided to figure out a way that we could use hitchhiking as a safe, easy, and reliable way to get around. And the keys are, number one, you need to give some information-rich clues, some photo ID to show that you're a member of the network, and also a way to show that your destination. And what we use are folding branded dry erase boards that are very distinctive and can be seen from down the road, where a rider can write their destination. And then a driver coming along can know, oh, this is one of those, you know, riders.
One of those rider people.
Yeah, one of those rider people is one of those members of our organization. It's called Karma Hop.
Mm-hmm.
More about that later. But they know that, and also they know where the person is going. So they know that they don't have to go out of their way. There's no negotiating. It's very quick and easy way to do ride matching.
Because you're putting on your sign, you're writing down where you want to go.
Exactly.
Okay. And why are signs important?
Well, signs are important because people need to know, say if you are standing on Highway 24 and someone could be going to Topeka or Kansas City or into downtown Lawrence or off to Perry, and for them to pull over and ask you where you're going, that's a pretty big commitment. So if, you know, you weed out the ones who are going your way, they're more likely to stop. And also, I want to point out that the signs just look really spiff and professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like a piece of cardboard that's, you know, sketchy. It's, yeah, they're good looking. And we found that from our driver responses that little bit of information makes all the difference in the world.
You know, it is interesting, your whole notion here, because if you sit on the edge of I-35 on any given morning and you watch the cars going by, you know, so many, as you point out, have lots of empty seats. In fact, there's one person in the car and three empty seats next to that person almost every time. And that's why perhaps this idea makes sense. Is that where you're coming from?
Absolutely, yeah. Our transportation system in this country is absolutely insane. You know, you use only 1/1000th of a car's energy to move the passenger. And the fact that we have one person in a car and five empty seats, it's ridiculous. But getting the riders into those empty seats is trickier than it sounds. To do true ride sharing, you need a pretty big pot of participants. And as anyone who does community ride share knows, that is kind of hard to do. You need a lot of marketing. You need a lot of community outreach. And it works really well in cities. But as far as the countryside and more sprawly areas, it's a hard sell. It's hard to get going.
So is your idea here, is it aimed mainly at cities, or is it smaller communities, or is it both?
No, ours is mostly aimed at small cities, small towns, and rural areas. Mm-hmm. Lawrence, Kansas, where we're piloting it, is about the biggest city we want to try out right now.
How many folks do you have involved in it?
Well, that's a good question. We have me. I have a team of about 20 volunteers that have helped me in my test rides. And now I've teamed up with a company out of Ireland called Karma. And they have built me, get this, the first ever smartphone app for hitchhiking.
No
and
kidding.
It is brilliant.
Describe it to me.
Okay. Well, it's basically, it does a couple of important things. It has a map where you can access good locations to get a ride. Because if you're just on any roadside and there's not a safe, easy, and obvious place for a driver to pull over, you have a really hard time getting a ride. So the map shows tested locations where you can stop. And then the app also has a way to record where your trip starts and where it stops and who you're riding with. And that's the safety backup. So, you know, there's some accountability. Somebody knows where I am.
Wait, explain that to me. How is someone going to know who I'm driving with?
Okay, you can input their phone number. And if they are a member already in the system, then that pops up their profile. You can even look at their ratings. And then if they're not a member, outreach to people in your community, your neighbors and your coworkers, to get them to sign up so we can get that big pool of participants.
And this thing is called Karma Hop?
Our particular program with the hitchhiking is called Karma Hop. And then our regular carpooling app is Karma Carpooling.
Let me get our listeners involved here. How likely are you to give all this a try? Give us a call. 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. Where did you get this idea?
Well, it came out of my frustration from not being able to get into town when I wanted to and mm-hmm. not having a bus to take. I heard a Freakonomics radio podcast about hitchhiking that said it's really not as dangerous as people make it out to be. And the interviewer said, well, all we need is a way to brand hitchhikers as safe, and then we can just use this for regular, you know, transportation network. And I thought, I'm going to do that. So I made up a prototype dry erase board and got some volunteers together, and we went out and just tested it to see how it would work. And the amazing thing, Steve, is that even with random strangers stopping to pick us up, our average wait time was only 7 minutes.
That was my next question. People are going to think that they're going to have to wait a long time. Sometimes they're waiting in the rain. What about that?
Yeah. To me, that is just downright miraculous. And
it is miraculous.
This is a baseline. And now there are places in Lawrence where I can reliably get a ride in under 2 minutes.
And how often do you do this?
I do it a couple times a week just to keep in practice. and now that we've got the app, we're going to be ready to launch it full scale in about 6 weeks, I'm guessing. We still have a couple things to put into place. We're getting new ride boards and brushing up on the app. And then we need to do a little bit of testing, beta testing, and then we'll be ready to roll.
Huh. What's the goal? How many folks do you want to have rolling with this?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'd be very pleased to get 100 user trips in a week, you mm-hmm. know, but I took this idea to a transportation conference in Washington, D.C., and I can't tell you how many, you know, small town, small city transportation planners came up to me and said, when are you going to get a pilot? Because we want to do this, too. So obviously there is a desperate need out there for solutions. And this looks like an easy and an obvious one. If we could just get beyond that barrier of the fear.
Yeah. Let's go to some phone calls here. Let's go to Barbara from Warrensburg. Barbara, you're on Up to Date. Our guest, Jenny O'Brien. Good morning.
Thank you. I want to say how awesome this is and what a great idea. My husband and I do some long-distance backpacking occasionally or some long-distance bike trips where we don't have access to a car. And we have hitchhiked, and we're 67 and 68 years old, and we recognize that both of our mothers said never do this. But we have, and it is it has always been fun and an adventure. And the only adverse thing I can think about is occasionally somebody might pick you up who's a smoker, and I don't particularly want to sit in the car, but I do it. Anyway, it's wonderful. And, of course, all of our friends are horrified. But it's just sort of our little joke with each other that, you know, we want to have an adventure, and this is part of it. And I would sign up for this just immediately if it were available in my community.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I hear those stories all the time. People who have actually had experience hitchhiking, be it long distance or short distance, they understand that it is really, you know, most people are kind and they're ready to help and they're willing to help as long as, you know, they don't feel too fearful. John Waters just did a cross-country hitchhiking trip that he wrote about in his book. And
yes,
the most extraordinary thing was just how ordinary and lovely everyone was.
Yeah. Barbara, I'm glad you called.
We hitchhiked all over the Big Island in Hawaii last winter, and we did not rent a car. We flew there. We took our backpacks, and we hitchhiked all over. And it's part of the culture there. There were junior high kids hitchhiking. There were people hitchhiking to and from work. It was just awesome.
Absolutely.
So much success to you. Much success.
Thanks, Barbara. Yeah. More phone calls here. Jake from South Kansas City. Jake, good morning.
Yeah, pleasant good morning. 66-year-old male, and I hitchhike whenever I drop my car off. I live about 95th and State Line, and I've got a great mechanic out at James Reed way east, and I'll hitchhike from there back home, and then I'll hitchhike to go pick up the car. And I do it, you know, twice a year, something like that, and it takes me no time at all to get a ride. I mean, just put on a halfway decent set of clothes, you know, look like a human being, and somebody's going to give you a ride. And I've been hitchhiking all my life, did quite a bit of long-distance hitchhiking as a real young man.
Mm-hmm.
But it's piece cake, you know. That's why we've got the opposable digit. Use that thumb, brother.
I appreciate that, Jake. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
So under your program, if you want to get a ride, Jenny, you do what? What's the procedure? What's the process?
Well, you can take your folding dry erase board. Well, actually, first, let's start from the beginning. You can go to the Apple Store, the iTunes Store, or Google Play and download the Karma Hop app. And if you live in Lawrence, that'll work for you. You can request a board from me. There's a button for that. And I'll send you a folding dry erase board. And
in the mail?
In the mail.
Who's paying for all this?
Well, Karma is paying for the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we're going to see if we can get some grants to implement it in various communities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then you look on your map, you go to a location, write your destination in nice big bold letters, wait for a passing car to pull up. And then, now this is the important thing, you have to use good judgment. You know, if someone pulls up, the car's all banged up and they're weaving around and you just don't feel like that's the car for you.
Yeah.
It's okay to refuse a ride. So this is not supposed to usurp your good judgment. You know, that goes along with it. But then you hop in, you record the ride, you log where it starts and where it stops. And then your driver, and this is a fun thing, we're working on some incentives for the drivers so that the riders don't feel like freeloaders. This is very important psychological protection.
Yeah.
So right now we're going to work out as prizes. You know, if you pick somebody up, you can win a prize. Woohoo! Eventually we might talk about integrating it with the regular Karma carpooling app where drivers get 20 cents a mile, which is, you know, enough to reimburse for gas, but it's not enough to turn you into one of these, you know, neo-taxis like Uber and Lyft,
mm-hmm.
because that's not really rideshare.
Well, I was going to ask you about Uber and Lyft. I mean, how is Karma different from these other ride-sharing projects like Lyft and Uber?
Oh, gosh, I'm glad you asked that because there is a lot of confusion right now. Uber and Lyft are really pretty much just a taxi cab. With a really smart app, and they're cheaper. But as far as like having a common destination or being good for the environment or getting cars off the road, they don't do any of that like true ride sharing does. And the fact that people are paying, you know, less than a taxi but still more than the cost of the ride, there are insurance liability issues that I don't feel are being adequately addressed. But they're co-opting the term ride share, and now they're inching into the term carpooling too. Which, you know, it's sort of like a massage parlor calling themselves a massage therapist in order to avoid bad repercussions.
You know, you talked, Jenny, about something called the sharing economy and how it's poised for takeoff in this country. What is the sharing economy and what is its potential in your view?
All right. The sharing economy, I think, is great because it's a way that ordinary people can use their extra resources. We have an Airbnb listing, for example, and we, you know, have an extra little cottage on our property that we can rent out overnight to people who are, you know, travelers. People like to participate in the sharing economy because you're helping out a real human being. You're helping to keep money in your local economy. And you also, it's more social that way. You meet people.
And what's the potential for it? Because you read about things like sharing even clothes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, the business model for the sharing economy is just exploding right now. It's a $26 billion industry. And it seems like every company is looking for an angle where they can get in on the sharing economy, which, you know, might open it up to some craziness happening eventually. I think we need to keep a close eye and see if there's a need to step in for some regulation. But I think it's a very exciting space to be in.
Let me go to one more phone call here. Let me go to Brian from Lee Summit. Brian, you're on Up to Date. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I love the show.
Thanks.
Hey, when I was about maybe 18 or 19, I had a situation where I had to hitchhike. I was 1,000 miles from Kansas City, and I made it home in 25 hours.
Wow.
That's 40 miles an hour. And the guy taught me how to hitchhike. He says, you have to look like you need a ride. He says, you don't just stand there. You have to, get people's eyes, flag them down, wave your hand, it's an emergency, and they'll pull over and they'll say, what's wrong? And you say, I need a ride. By that time, you're sitting in the seat, and away you go.
All right, Brian.
But that was my hint.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it. So if people, Jenny, want more information, they should do what?
Well, they can go to our website, which is just up. It's karmahop.com. Or they could look for more information if they want to start carpools in Kansas City. They can go to Karma Carpooling, and this is with a C, not with a K.
Mm-hmm.
So karmacarpooling.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Karma Hopista.
Hey, how much feedback did you get at the TEDx conference this weekend? People love it?
Oh, yeah. People were saying, oh, my gosh, I'm glad somebody's finally coming up with a solution that everybody can use, especially people who come from small towns and understand that it's so hard to get around without a car.
A late question here from Anita, who's concerned about women hitchhiking alone. Should they be concerned?
I hitchhike alone. I'm 46 years old, small and not very menacing.
True. You're not.
The good part is that you get rides a little bit faster than the guys do.
Really?
Yeah. But I have some elementary precautions. I don't like to get in a car when there's more than one man that I don't know. Just, you know, makes it a little safer that way. I only do this in the daytime where your risk level is a lot lower. I wouldn't do it, you know, late at night after the bars. We're also looking for some indoor sponsored ride places like at a grocery stores so that people have a little bit more, population around them. That makes it a little bit safer. But, you know, just use your good judgment. I have a lot of like women with children who stop for me, and that is just brilliant.
Yeah. That's transportation activist Jenny O'Brien. We've been talking about hitchhiking, and so good to have you here. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
Good luck with it, Jenny.
Thank you.